Corinthians chapter 2.
2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Reading the word of God. Now thanks be unto God, who always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the Savior of our knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many who corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity. But as of God in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. He's speaking this morning on the subject, is your life. Did you get that? Is your life triumphant? And listening to Wilson down here each week, he's pinning my title down. What a question. A question that many may be sitting right here today would answer, no. My life is not triumphant. I don't feel that radiant joy that I once felt. It seems like there's something missing in my life. God doesn't seem as present as he has been in the past. I want to say to you that God is just as present as you are if you're a child of God. Because sometimes we call upon God and we find him somewhere off in a mystical sky. But God dwells in us. And the sooner we as God's children realize this as a truth and a fact, that God feels, that God dwells in us, and we can go nowhere without God, our life will begin to pick the aspirations and the things of God that make the Christian life a joy worth living. Preacher, I know I heard you preach, I've heard the word of God, but I just can't get the things come through. Many times we can't come through because we won't come down. Many times we fail God because we will not receive the resources that God has for us. You know, the Bible says that we are triumphant in Christ. Did you notice that? He didn't say in ourselves and in our knowledge and in our workplace, in our skills, whatever that is, in our talent. It says that we are triumphant in Christ. And that is the only way that we can be triumphant. But it seems like that there's so many failures and defeats sometimes that when we have one victory, it seems like we've won a war. But listen to this word again. We pastor that. Sometimes we treat it like it isn't in the word of God, and we bang, that's impossible, we say. But God's word don't lie. Listen what he said. The second word. He, and here it is, always causes us. He always causes us to triumph. Not just one time. But when we're living in the will and the purpose of God, God always causes us to triumph. And I can rejoice in that. The old devil has labored with me in small things about the past week. You know, it's the drop the comb thing, and when you start to pick it up, you say, you're not bothering me. You start to pick it up, your glasses fall out of your pocket. And you get down there in your lounge, and you start to pick up, and the paper you had falls out over it and flies away. And you go to pick it up, and you almost kill yourself and over because you're getting old. And God, I just went out in the kitchen the other day and just said, here's what I said. Man, just keep it up, because you're not getting me. God always causeth us to triumph. If it's in small things or big things, God is the one that gives us the victory. The word causeth can be translated also in the Hebrew, lead or lead us. He leads us triumphantly. Or He leads us in triumph. It is God that when we follow the leadership of Dad, that God leads us to victory. Remember one time He told Gideon, He said, just go up there and take a pitcher, take a light and take the trumpet, and when I tell you, shine the light, break the pitcher, blow the trumpet, and let me fight the battle. My friend, many times this is why our lives are not victorious. We're not triumphant. Because we're trying to fight the battle against the devil ourselves, and we can't do it. I pray you love it. You can't do it, and you can't do it, and I can't do it. But in Christ, He always causes us to triumph. But only in Christ. And my friend, when we leave Christ out, there's no victory. There's no joy in serving God. One of the sisters said she won't mind. She was somewhere, something happened. She said, I felt God was saying to me, get busy. You love me yet, don't you? God was saying, get busy. God always says to us, get busy. God always tells to us to fall into position. God always tells us to fill in the ranks. God always tells us to fall in His will and His purpose. But many times we do not do it, and therefore we cannot be triumphant. But in Christ, He always causes us to triumph. Preacher, I like that. I'd like to have that joy and that aspiration. I'd like to want to run to church because I want to be there. I want to do some work in church because I know God wants me to do it in church. And I want to grow in the grace and knowledge of God. I got the answer. How that we can be triumphant in Christ. And I want to just for a few minutes point a few of them out. Number one says that in Christ, our life must be bonded in Christ Jesus. It is not outside of Him. It is in Him that God can only cause us to triumph. And the possibility of living a happy life, a triumphant life, a spiritual life outside of God is impossible. Or we try. I have so many people say to me, as I ask them, are you a Christian? They say to me, a preacher, I'm doing the best that I can. I want to say to you today, the best that you can is not good enough. It's the best that you can with Him that's acceptable in the sight of God. That's our problem. It's outside of Christ we try to work. That's why we have divorces and family problems. This is why we have prostitution. This is why we have crimes and murder. Because people are outside of Christ who causes us to triumph. We need to find ourselves bonded in Christ. And when we are bonded in Christ, what does that mean, preacher? When we are bonded in Christ, it will mean that His will automatically and habitually be done in our lives. We will not have to ask God what to do. We will move in the flow of God under the guidance and the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God that lives in us. And that's when we will become triumphant. Paul says something like this, Galatians 2:20. Paul said, nevertheless, I live, but yet, it isn't I that live, but it's Christ lives in me. For when I live, I believe we live to ourselves. But when Christ lives in us, Paul said something like this, if you want to see Jesus, look at me, because it's my life that He's living in, and if you see me walking, you'll see Christ walking. The disciples said to Jesus, show us the Father. And Jesus said to them, have you been with me so long and you don't know God? If you see me, you see God. That's exactly what Paul was saying to the Galatians. I live, but yet it's not I that lives. But it is Christ that liveth in me. In 1 John 14, he says this, we know that He dwells in us because He giveth to us of His Spirit. You can't be a child of God and not know it. I wonder if I'm saved. Well, I think I am. No, my friend, because when you are a true Christian, the Spirit of God comes to dwell within us. And the Bible says that His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. It's impossible. I don't know why anybody wonders. If you're wondering if you're a Christian or not, 99.9% that you're not a Christian. Is that a point there? And we need to do something with our lives. Well, preacher, I think I got the Spirit. I'm pretty sure I have. I don't do this, but I'm pretty sure I got the Spirit. My friend, there's no question about that. Because the Bible says that if you have the Spirit, we will bear the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? And those fruits are love and joy and peace and long-suffering and meekness and temperance and hospitality. And these are the things that come natural when we're the children of God. No question, my friend. I always say, and I've said it to some of you, and I want to tell you, I'm in, I believe those plants will verify that I'm fruitful. If you come to my house and I'm not home, you just go on in. The ice box is in there. And I promise you, if I don't get killed on the road, I'll be back. I'm like my father, my friend. I shall return. Make yourself at home. And I believe that's what God wants. There may a young man come to the door, knocked upon the door, and he looked at a sign, and on the sign it read something like this: "This house is protected by Jesus Christ." And he had a great laugh, and I stepped out the door and said to him, "And I want to tell you what, friend, you believe that sign, and you can go in and rob everything in my house, but I want to tell you something. God will put your conscience to such a bother that you'll come and get it back." You know what he said? "I think it would." My friend, we don't have to put on or pretend that we have the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God in us. If He dwells there, our fruits will be seen by those we come in contact with. And so, number one, we must make sure, first of all, if you want to have a joy and a happy Christian life or a life, Christ must dwell in you. Number two. Well, John 3:3 here, I have this down. Must be in Christ. What was it? As Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, he said, "You must be born again." Nevertheless, you must be born again. And then he said something. He used a word. He says, "Marvel. Marvel not. Don't be excited. Don't wonder about it." I mean, I simply said, you must be born again. And that's the only way today for you to be in Christ is to be born again. Number two, a triumphant life will reveal something of the wisdom of God. Read the Bible. Everywhere that Paul went, he tried to teach them about God. He tried to teach them about a Christ who loved them and died for them. And he did it because it was the will of God that the Word of God goes throughout the entire world, to Jerusalem and to Judea and to Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. Take the Word of God. And this is what Paul did. And he had some wisdom about God. You know why? Because he knew Him personally. You don't have to tell me about God. I want you to relate. But I want to tell you something. And I'm not bragging. God, strike me dead or I am. I know God personally. I've come in contact with Him. I hear that He's mine. And one writer said it like this: "As the grape is to the vine, I am His and He is mine." He's mine today. And that's why when I get, man, I'll tell you what, I get excited to get up here and preach the Word, because I know God called me to do it. And I know it's what He wants me to do. And He wants you to hear the Word. And I'm excited about it. We should be excited about our Christian life because it's within the will of God. But when we know nothing of God, when we don't study about God, when we don't live under the leadership of the Spirit, my friend, we are in misery. I mean, even going to church becomes a drudgery. I mean, even studying the Word becomes a drudgery. I'll tell you, my friend, when Christ dwells in us and we're learning more about God and the wisdom of God, we will have something more to talk about than the world and what the world has to offer.
we will have someone more noble and someone more precious and someone in more high places. The other day a guy said, be careful with him. He knows men in high places. I don't know many folks in high places. I don't know only no one. And he sits on the throne in the highest place. His name is God. And he said, that's who I'm talking about. Well, he still ain't in the house again, but just keep saying we work on that check. So the Romans, he took that message of the wisdom of God, and here's how he said in 12:1, Romans 12:1. He said, I beseech your brethren by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, not a dead one, a living sacrifice, and here it is, holy, and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I mean, for you to serve God and me to serve God at all times and to let God be in charge of our life day and night if we're awake, it's just a reasonable service. It's nothing beyond that. Just a reasonable service. But I'll tell you, this reasonable service is hard for some to do. And that's why that joy, that triumphant life, that victory's not there. I'll tell you what, the songwriter said, oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. Amen. The victory is not in my power. It's not in my wisdom and knowledge. It's not in my strength. But my victory and your victory and the victory of to live a triumphant life is in Jesus Christ the Lord. The Bible says it. When we are led by the will of God, we will have a greater testimony to tell the world than the world has offered us. Wisdom and knowledge is fine, but you know what? The majority of people know more about the world and the things of the world than they do about God and the kingdom of God. That's a sad story to say. And if you're here, I don't apologize. When someone knows more about the world and what the world has to offer than it does about God and what God has to offer, my friend, priorities are out of order. Can I get an amen? Because the Bible said that God shall be first, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Listen now, folks. This isn't me talking to fill in some words. It's God. With all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Have you noticed three times that God used the word all? He didn't say a portion. He didn't say some. He didn't say an iota. He said with all your heart, you shall love God. God's got to be first if we're going to be triumphant. Amen? Oh, good, good, good. I like it. Well, I'm pretty smart. I've been to high school and college and seminary. Man, I got wisdom to spare. That's good. Nothing wrong with it. But you know what God says about wisdom of the world? He says the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. Amen? You know, if we would take the knowledge that we gain in this world and put it in service for God, you would hear this community and the surrounding community saying what they did about the apostles of Jesus Christ. They're turning the world upside down. Take the knowledge and the resources that we gain from education and the things of the world and apply it into the service of God. And I promise you, standing on the Word of God in Christ, you will be triumphant. People tell me, well, pastor? Yeah, pastor. Not preacher. Pastor. I come to church when I get time. My friend, if you ain't got time for church, my little sign says, if you ain't got time for Jesus, you're too busy. And if you ain't got time for God and for church, you shouldn't make time for anything else. Amen. You still love me, don't you? Just the word of death, that's just the way it is. Yeah, to be triumphant then. We must forget about gaining position, priority, and the knowledge of the world. And we must use it to gain more knowledge about God
One of the richest, greatest men that ever lived on the face of this earth, other than Gad, was Solomon. And one day God goes to Solomon and says this to Solomon, Solomon, whatever you want in the entire world, whatever you want, I will give it to you. Think of that. Just for a minute. If God came to you personally and said to you, whatever you want, I will give it to you, would you ask Him to win the lottery? Would you ask Him to bless your bingo card? Would you ask Him to make somebody make a mistake in your bank account? What would you ask God for? To live to be 100 or 1,000? You see, Solomon could have asked for any of these things. Oh, the lottery wasn't there, so don't push me on it. But you know, when he thought it all out, you know what he said? He said to God, God, you call me to rule a nation. Just give me wisdom to rule. And you know what God said? God, oh! Gives you that filled up and pressed down and running over sort of thing. And God said to Solomon, Solomon, because you didn't ask for help, because you didn't ask for riches, because you didn't ask for anything for yourself, I'm just going to throw all of them in because you asked for wisdom. Amen? I don't put you on that track. Well, now you just have to be a good, faithful church member. And because that you've asked that, I'm going to give you enough wisdom and knowledge to teach the class. I'm going to give you enough pizzazz to be Sunday school super, or whatever it is. I'm going to help you in it, amen? God always gives more than we ask for. A triumphant life has a sweet savor of God. Would you grab hold of this word, spit image? We need to be the spit image of Jesus. We need to walk as He walked. We need to talk like He talked. We need to go in the direction that He went in. And a while ago I said it. In the Christian's life, when someone in the world sees you, they should not see you as much as they see Jesus living in you. And not only, my friend, are we a sweet-smelling savor to God because that we take the message of God to a world, but we are that sweet-smelling savor because we are interpenetrated, we are saturated, we are propelled, and we are compelled by the Holy Spirit of God that lives in us to do the will of God. I love it. I just want to be as truthful as you I can, and God strike me dead, I'm not bragging, I'm no different. I'm just an old sinner just like you are. I'm no better, I'm no different. God has given you a different cause, but I want to tell you something. I love to come into the house of God just to be here where God brings His people together to receive the word of God. Amen. I know that some other folks starting to come down once in a while. It won't hurt you. In fact, what is he said about something pancakes up? It'd do you proud to come into the house of God and just be alone with God and with God. But you know what we're afraid of? Many times we do not have a triumphant life because we're afraid of what we will express to the world. The world don't like us. Well, my friend Jesus said to His children, you are in the world, but you are not of the world. It makes no difference what the world thinks about us and what about the message we take. As long as we're right in the sight of God, that's what counts. And Jesus said it like this. I say it so many times. He said, when the world hates you, you just remember this. It hated me before it hated you. But I want to tell you something. Many times the child of God gives the world a reason for hating them.
And you know what it is?
Listen to me and love me. Because, my friend, it seems like the way we talk and the way we live for Jesus are two separate things, and that's not right. If you're a child of God, act like one, live like one, talk like one, and be like one. Because the message you take to the world is either for or against Jesus. Do you want to be triumphant, my friend? Then be a sweet-smelling savor unto God. As long as God approves us, everything's all right. You know what? I'm glad God doesn't look like we do at situations. You see, God isn't concerned about us and great accomplishments. That doesn't make us any better than anyone else. But what God is concerned about is a little word called obey. And a little bigger word that interprets that, faithful. That you be found faithful. And later on, in the book of Revelation, I hear these words. And I hear it in Matthew. And since thou hast been faithful in a few things, I will make you ruler over many things. It isn't how much that I accomplish for God as long as I'm doing His will. It's obedience that I need to stand before God with. And to have a life that's triumphant, I have to be obedient to the will of God. In other words, to be triumphant, you must be Christ-like, and so must I. A triumphant life is best both the saved and the lost.
Anybody ever said to you, and I am joking now, seriously, because I get this every Sunday. I get this from Susie, I get it from Clarence, I get it from all of them. And he just came from church. But listen to me. Has anyone been serious with you and said that?
Has anyone ever said to you, because of the way you're acting and the way you're talking, and you're supposed to be a Christian? Are you saying something with your life you shouldn't be saying? You see, when you're a Christian and triumphant,
you'll influence those you labor with in the house of death.
Jesus said for the strong to lift up the weak. And when you're strong in God, you help those who are weak to grow, to be able to say that they're triumphant. Somebody says, how can you get behind that pulpit Sunday after Sunday and be happy and smile and rejoice? Because, my friend, I'm alive, and I'm alive in God. And I'm glad He called me and not you, or I might not have a job.
I'll praise God. Yes. We walked through a church basement at Calvary Baptist Church some years ago. I don't recall what purpose we were there for. But they had called me over to go over about a situation concerning the Kent Cape Baptist Church. And I went with the group of men. I don't know who there, maybe he went, but I'm not sure. But we went down the basement of the Calvary Baptist Church. And the pastor came walking toward us. And as he walked before us, just his character shined out. And one of the men said, you can tell he's a child of God just by the way he walks. Amen. You know why? Because he walks with me. And because he talks with me. Amen. My friend, you should be able to be seen like a beacon in the midst of a multitude of sinners by a world that needs to know God. But not only that. Our lives will affect the sinner in a double way. Our life, if we live it according to Jesus, will so affect the lost that it will cause them to either accept Christ the Savior or reject Him for eternity. I pray that will never be said about me or about you. If that's Christianity, I don't want any. But I pray it will be said about your life, if you want to see a Christian, go talk or see Sister so-and-so or Brother so-and-so.
Ah, tell you, it does me good. It does me good to go into a home, and I go in a lot of homes, and I hear a lot of this. Ah, tell you, brother and sister, so I don't want to pay, but give the roses while they are. The other day, I put my arms around an elderly gentleman, and I loved him, and I said, John, I truly love you. I don't see you much, but I truly love you, and I want you to listen to his words. He said, Brother Lynn comes and sees me, and here's what he said. And he gives me what I need. Amen. Not only Brother Lynn, but each of you folks out in here, I've heard many. I know Sister So-and-so, she's a wonderful woman. Oh, there's so Mr. So-and-so, if there was a Christian, they're a Christian. Oh, it does me good because I'm your pastor and hear that. Let me go on to close. Lastly, a triumphant life will affect all the same, all in some way. You know, today every one of you is hearing the same message. It's not different. It's all the same message. But there's one thing for sure. Today, you personally will have to make the decision to accept Christ as your Savior and go to heaven, or reject Christ and go to hell. You and I must make those decisions. No one, not even God, can make them for us. The decision must be ours. In some way, we must affect everyone in some way. Paul said in verse 17, we're not as many that corrupt the word of God. You know what I find so many times? We find those who want to be triumphant feasting on falsehood. I hear every week on my telephone, some say, well, I would have said this, I should have said this, but I didn't want to hurt nobody. Let me tell you something, friend. When someone talks to you false doctrine and you know the truth, you had better help them. Yes, this word is possible even for correction, it says. And so it's false doctrine, we need to talk to them. But many times we leave it go because we don't want to hurt anybody. But a lady said just a few days ago, at the end of past week, you know what she said? Listen to these words, friend. I don't know what you believe, that's between you and him, but I know what I believe the Bible says. They was talking about her little grandson and said, I am so glad that they baptized him, because now I know he's going to heaven. You better think about that. You better pray about that. Well, I want to say to you today, standing on the Word of God and not talking about your doctrine, my doctrine, the Word of God said that we are buried, not dying, but we are buried with Him in baptism. Salvation is dying with Christ. And you've got to die before you're buried. Can I get an amen? I don't know if you grabbed that, but I want to tell you, we take our children, we get them baptized, not Christian, baptized. And we feel this is the only thing they got to do to get into heaven, but it isn't the Word of God. John said, you must be born again. Well, anyway, you take that word out. If it hurts, that's all right. I'm not sorry. But we try to teach doctrine, and many times, you know, a good old book says, you find it in a word, and they say something that I ain't never read in my life in the Word of God. And I say, are you sure that is Bible, or is that tradition? Is it something in, oh, no, Reverend, it's in the Bible, you know. I'll say, I have looked for 30 years and I've never found that in the Word of God. Look, friend, if you don't know the Word of God, are you listening? If you don't know the Word of God, you just think you do. Keep quiet. Don't lead anyone astray, my friend, because you'll stand accountable before God. Now, if you know the Word of God and you know what you're saying and you know it's in the Word of God, brother, you preach it and teach it. Amen. All right, let me close. We try to mix tradition and the Word of God. Did you ever try to mix water and oil? You've got a task on your hand. And you know what happens when you get one, you let go, there's the oil again. That's the way it is with the Word of God and tradition. They cannot mix because darkness can't mix with light. Amen. Question, are you bonded in Christ? Question, do you reveal the wisdom of God? Question, is your life a sweet-smelling savor to God? Question,
Does the way you live affect both the saved and the lost? Question. Are you true to the Word of God? It takes all five of these things and more if you desire to live a triumphant life. And today, if you're able to say, Brother Wise, that fits me to a T, then we can say together, thank God for the victory through Jesus Christ the Lord. For it is within Him that we have victory. Amen. You know your life. I don't have to tell you about your life. You know if you're a sinner, you know if you're saved. I don't. You can fool me all day long, 365 days a year. But you can't fool God, and you know what? You can't fool yourself. You know if you're a Christian. Why you're waiting? I don't know. Why you're lost? I don't know. But only you can make that decision today, as those who play the instruments of music, Brother Wilton Tom. And you know what? Today you've got to make that decision. If you're a sinner and leave this door without being saved, you have chose to reject Christ and die and go to hell. Did you know that? That's right. And so the opportunity is for us. Jesus loved us so much, the Bible said, that He came and died on Calvary's cross, and whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do you need to know Jesus today? I present Him to you as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the host of hosts, and the God who wants to be your Savior. Maybe you just need to pray. Well, I'm not a member of this church. Who cares? This church is worldwide, my friend, because we are all in the same body of Christ. You need to come and pray. The church needs to come and pray with you. Whatever you need to do, if you move, God will work. Amen. As we stand and sing, brother Wilson.
194.